Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. Today, music by Sahara Smith. And we answer a question about the Statue of Liberty. But first, a visit to the Robert Frost Farm in New Hampshire, where the harvest is poetry.
I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
Robert Frost was one of America's greatest poets and most influential teachers and thinkers. He won 4 Pulitzer Prizes, a Congressional Gold Medal, and served as the nation's poet laureate. Many of Frost's best-loved poems were about the years he spent with his young family on a farm in Derry, New Hampshire. Faith Lapidus takes us there.
You could drive right by the Robert Frost Farm if you were not looking for it. It is a simple, white, wooden farmhouse. It is not unlike other farmhouses of the same age in the area. The grounds are still green and flowery at this end of the summer visit. Birds sing loudly. Insects buzz. There is a cleared field, but trees are what you mostly see. Some of them are the birches Frost wrote about. Here he reads part of the poem, Birches.
When I see birches bent to left and right across the lines of straighter, darker trees, I like to think some boy's been swinging them. But swinging doesn't bend them down to stay as ice storms do. Often you must have seen them loaded with ice a sunny winter morning after a rain. They click upon themselves as the breeze rises and turn many-colored as the stir cracks and crazes their enamel. Soon the sun's warmth makes them shed crystal shells, shattering and avalanching on the snow crust. Such heaps of broken glass to sweep away, you'd think the inner dome of heaven had fallen.
Robert Frost lived at the Derry farm from 1900 to 1911. His wife Eleanor had persuaded Frost's grandfather to buy the farm for them. She had hoped a new start in farming would help her husband deal with the tragic loss of their 4-year-old son to the disease cholera. Randy Ray Martin is a guide at the Robert Frost Farm. She says Frost decided he would raise chickens. He also owned 1 cow. She said he enjoyed the attempt at farming, but was not good at it. The farm was a good place for him to write and find sources for poems, however. The cow was one of them. The Cow in Apple Time is a poem about how the cow decided she liked apples instead of grass. Eating apples caused an effect like people drinking alcohol. The poet says the cow stopped producing milk as a result. A young visitor to the farm reads the end of the poem.
She runs from tree to tree, where lie and sweeten windfalls spiked with stubble and worm eating. She leaves them bitten when she has to fly. She bellows on a knoll against the sky. Her udder shrivels and the milk goes dry.
Bill Gleed is park manager of the Robert Frost Farm. He explains that the cow in Apple Time is an example of Robert Frost's poetic fooling. He says Frost's cow did go dry, but not because of eating apples. He said Frost kept poet's hours instead of farmer's hours. He did not get up early to milk the cow. He did not milk her until the middle of the day, and that is really why her milk went dry. The tour of the farmhouse provides a sense of how the Frosts lived with no electricity or running water. Visitors can sit in the kitchen where Robert Frost wrote Storm Fear and Tree at My Window. The house was carefully refurnished with the help of Frost's eldest daughter, Leslie Frost Ballantyne. She worked to reproduce her childhood home as closely as possible. Many of the books and other objects in the living room belonged to the family. Robert Frost lived most of his life in Massachusetts, but he said several times the place where he was happiest was the farm in Derry. He wrote in a letter to a friend, "The core of all my writing was probably the 5 free years I had on the farm."
Give me your tired, your poor.
Our listener question this week comes from Thailand. Nanta Chai Tubtimsuan wants to know about the history of the Statue of Liberty, one of the most famous statues in America. To many people, the statue is known as Lady Liberty. She stands on a small island in New York Harbor near the great city. In her right hand, she holds a torch with a golden flame high above her head. Her left arm holds a tablet with the date July 4th, 1776. That is the day the United States declared its independence. On her head is a crown of 7 points that represent the 7 continents and the 7 seas. Around her feet is a broken chain that represents oppression. The Statue of Liberty was a gift to the United States from the people of France. Its official name was Liberty Enlightening the World. Frederick Auguste Bartholdi built the statue in several parts. These were shipped to New York and then put together on a base or pedestal. The statue was dedicated in a ceremony on October 28, 1886. The statue itself stands about 46 meters tall. The distance from the ground to the top of the golden torch is about 93 meters. The statue can be seen from far away. For the many millions of immigrants who came to America on ships, the Statue of Liberty was the first thing they saw. In 1883, American poet Emma Lazarus wrote a poem as if Lady Liberty were speaking. In part, it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Today, more than 3 million people visit the Statue of Liberty each year. Most come by a ferry boat from New York. Some visitors go inside the statue and climb as high as the crown to look down on the harbor. Others stay on the ground, take photographs, read Emma Lazarus's poem, and enjoy being close to Lady Liberty. Sahara Smith writes and sings poetic songs influenced by country and folk music. The 21-year-old musician from Texas started writing songs at the age of 9. She recently released her first album, Myth of the Heart. Mario Ritter tells us more.
touches of his feet and in the hollows of his hand. There's a way into my heart that I can barely understand. Let the bottom of my mind, I make a wish for him to stay. And he echoes in the way, he walks away, he walks away.
That was Train Man. Like many songs on the album, this one expresses a deep sense of longing and heartbreak that is surprising for such a young performer. Sahara Smith grew up in Wimberley, Texas. Her father showed her how to play a guitar at the age of 8, and she soon began writing her own songs. At the age of 12, she began performing in local restaurants. She gained wider attention 3 years later when she performed during a contest for young musicians on the National Public Radio program, A Prairie Home Companion. Here is Sahara Smith performing the dreamy song, Mermaid.
There's a carousel in Pittsburgh. At least there was before the war. I saw a picture in a postcard dated 1934, and it's probably gone to rust now, but all that silver used to shine. Anyway, that's where I'm.
Sahara Smith says her songs are influenced by singers including Tom Waits and Leonard Cohen. But she says many of her songs come from her own feelings of sadness and heartache. She says she can release these emotions by making music. We leave you with The Real Thing. It tells about driving all night and the possibility of love.
I got this crazy idea, oh, and it's howling like a circus. I got this crazy idea, oh, and it's growling at the surface. Why don't we drive all night and wake up in
certain. I'm Doug Johnson. Our program was written by Jim Tedder, Dana Demange, and Katie Weaver, who also was the producer. Join us again next week for American Mosaic, VOA's radio magazine in special English.
This creature inside, oh, you know you're creeping up behind it. Why don't you call my name like you did when you were lonely? Why don't you shake?
instead of trying.